Well, today we're back into the track of characters of the Bible. We started this a couple weeks ago, characters of the Bible. And we're talking about not only people of the Bible, but we're also talking about characters of these people. We talked about the discipline of Daniel, and last week we talked about the love of Hosea. This week I want to talk to you about the endurance of Noah. The endurance of Noah. How many can say that over your life, looking back, that you can remember times in your life when you quit things you regretted? Anybody here can say, I gave up on something, or I quit something I regretted later? I think we can all raise our hand on that, right? Can we not? The rest of us, we can kind of not be honest, you know? Maybe we can talk about the lying of somebody else next week. But anyway, we all here today, we can say that throughout our life, we can look back on our times in our life that we quit things we regret. And we didn't follow through with things that we wish we would have done. It seems like today in society that when we run into walls of barriers, that it's easier to give up and go around and trying to figure out another way than it is to fight through what God's asked us to do. Most people would rather run than they would rather bail out than bail in and try to blast through. Some would rather throw in the towel than stay in the game. We have a lot of people who are into job quitting, vow quitting, giving up on things when things get tough and hard. I mean, we have society that kind of even praises that. Don't you know that? We have society that even kind of praises people who give up. Oh, you quit. Oh, but you gave it a good effort. Yeah. A for effort. Yes, you had a good attitude when you quit. You know, we kind of even patronize people today because they quit. And I can tell you this as a parent that I see this a lot in our children. As someone who spent 12 years in youth ministry, as someone who is a father of five children, I can tell you that we are raising a group, a generation of people who are pacifying quitting, and that we see it happening, that it's okay to quit. How many know it's not always okay to quit? There's a time that you can quit some things, but it's not always okay to quit, and that we need to teach endurance, that we don't quit. We don't quit on things. Well, you don't want to go to school. Okay, well, I guess you can drop out and get your GED, and then we'll see what happens in the future. We're raising. Well, you don't want to. I know you made a commitment to the team, but if you don't want to play and go to the game because it's too hot today, well, I guess that your team can lose because you're not there. It's okay. We're raising people. Well, I know it's hard. Your job's hard. I know you're only 17 and the job's hard. And I know you're keeping at least 10 hours a week there at that job. And man, I know it's tough. And we allow people to quit. And we're raising a generation. I would say this to you, parents, not only are we raising a generation, we're pacifying that ourselves. We have seen so many people when the going is tough that we just quit. We just quit. And so today I want to talk to you about this trait of endurance. 2 weeks ago we talked about Daniel's discipline. I think it kind of linked up together, discipline and endurance. We said the character is an outward reflection of an inward connection. The character is an outward reflection of an inward connection. We got to learn that our character reflects really what's going on the inside of us. So what is endurance today? Endurance is definitely on the endangered character quality list, I believe. It's on the endangered species list that we're finding less and less people who are willing to stick things out. Things get tough, well, I'll just jump to the next marriage. Things get tough in my job, I'll jump to the next job. Things get tough at school, well, I'll just change schools. Things get tough, I'll just change teams. And we were constantly jumping and quitting. Now, I tell my kids this. I say, you know what? You don't have to play sports if you don't want to play sports. But if you sign up, you're going to finish up the season. You're not going to quit halfway through the season because you don't like it. Because what am I teaching them? That you can quit is okay. And I'm not pushing them, but if they want to sign up to play, well, I may like it, but I don't push them. And I allow them. If they want to play, they don't have to play, but they are going to follow through. If they sign up for band, they're not going to quit band during the middle of the band season. They're going to finish the band throughout. If they sign up to do a job, they're going to do the job right. Where do we see that quality at? Doing a job right. Oh, Jesus said what? Jesus said, what about doing? What's the Bible say about work and what we do? Do all things unto who? Unto God. See, it's not important for me to be the best, but it's always important for me to give my best. Let me say it again. It's not important for me to be the best, but it's always important for me to give my best. And so we have got to learn that in the endurance that Noah showed, the endurance that he had, that when God spoke to him, that we have got to learn that we have got to raise up a generation of people, a generation in our churches, especially Christian children, that know that we don't give up when things get tough, that we don't give up when things happen in our life. I can tell you, there's times in my life that I've gone through things that I wanted to throw in the towel. There's times in my life when I wanted to walk away from ministry. I wanted to walk away from things in my life, that commitments I had made. But I made a commitment, and I endured, and I'm glad I endured through that. I'm glad I fought through my pain. I'm glad I kept on pressing forward, because it's through the endurance and through the pain that I grew. It's through the pain and my commitment that God shaped me and formed me. And so Noah had this endurance. We're going to talk about Noah. We got a couple clips here I want to show you real fast in just a second, so you're getting those ready. How many's ever seen the movie Evan Almighty? Anybody seen that movie, Evan Almighty? A movie that came out, I believe, last year, modern-day tale of Noah and the Ark. And we're going to see two quick clips of this. This kind of gets you, kind of set the scene up for this message. And we see here where Morgan Freeman, who plays God, goes to Noah, played by Steve Carell, and he just kind of says, "Hey, I'm God. I'm really God, and I've called you to do this great work." And then we kind of see him in the middle of the action of building the Ark. So why don't you go ahead and play those two clips back to back.
Feel like living on the edge? Beautiful, isn't it?
I remember creating this valley.
Notice how the mountains line up east to west. I saw there'd be lots of sunshine.
Where are we?
Don't recognize it, eh?
No.
Now, this is where you live, son. This is Prestige Crest. I wanted you to see the original design.
So, you're really him, aren't you?
You want more proof? I haven't done the pillar of salt thing in a while.
That's all right. I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
No one knows where they came from or how the congressman is getting them to do it, but two by two, animals of all kinds are working with God's speed to build this ark.
Thank you. Hey! Little help? Thanks.
What's up? High five.
What's up?
Here it is, Tom.
Perfect. Thanks. Over there.
This is Ed Carson coming to you live from New York.
Dylan, Jordan, check it out. Your mom's building an ark. Woo! Listen to this.
No, please, no.
If this flood really does happen, heaven help us.
Can you imagine Noah, man? Can you imagine Noah being called to God, and God said, "Listen, Noah, I want you to build me an ark." And Noah says, "What's an ark?" "It's a boat." And Noah's like, "What's a boat? What's to protect you from the water and the rain? What's rain?" You know, it had never rained before, and we see this scene. If you haven't seen this movie, it's a great movie. I recommend it to watch. Obviously, it's not 100% biblically accurate because of Hollywood, but it does a pretty good job of sticking to the main points of the story. But we see we're in God's economy that, you know, that there's always got to be a payment for sin. That's the way it is. In God's economy, there always has to be a payment for sin. Sin must be redeemed. And we see this happening here where we have a God of judgment on one hand, but also on the same hand, God's always balanced. We have a God of grace. And so we see God's judgment coming to the earth because the earth was so wicked and had turned their back from God that God was really ready to wipe out the whole earth, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We see the grace showing here also in God's hand. That we see that it's like this, that you and I in our life that, you know, Noah got a mulligan. Some of you who didn't laugh because you don't play golf. Mulligan is what you do to golfers. Every time we go golfing, we usually talk about getting the mulligan. Some guys get two or three. Some guys more than that, but we won't talk about those guys. But anyway, a mulligan represents a do-over. You mess up, you can do it again. And we call it a mulligan. And that's the way what's happening here. God's throwing Noah a mulligan. Said, listen, you have found grace in my sight. You're going to get a chance to do it right, man. I'm going to give you a chance here. I'm not going to wipe out the whole earth, but man, your family's going to have a chance to be saved. And he gives Noah this chance by building the ark. He gives Noah this chance of a do-over and to see what happens. See, let's check it out in Genesis 6:8. It says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The word found favor is a cool phrase. It's one of the first instances of concepts of grace that we see in the Bible. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor is a Hebrew phrase, which actually means superior person giving unmerited favor to an inferior one. A superior person giving unmerited favor to an inferior one. That Moses found favor, that kind of grace, in the eyes of God. And verse 6:9 says, and Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Notice what it says, that he walked with God, he didn't run with God. How many know that running is a hard thing to do, to talk? I've had people who try to get me to run with them, and when they ask me to run, they're like, you know, these guys have been running for a long time, you know, maybe all their life. And when they run with me, what happens they want to do? They want to talk to me, you know. Hey, how's it going? And they're talking about things. And I'm like, oxygen, you know. I'm like, will you just be quiet, please, you know. I can't talk to you because I'm out of breath trying to run, you know. But if you and I walk together, you know what can happen? I can talk to you just fine walking. I can hold a good conversation walking. I can relate. I can have great concepts. I can comprehend what you're saying. I can talk to you in a good manner. But you get me running with you, I'm going to have a hard time just keeping my focus on finishing the race at hand, finishing the task at hand. I'm not going to talk to you and communicate very good. But we see here it says that Moses walked with God. There's something about walking with God. If you walk with God, that you can communicate with him. He didn't run ahead of God or try to run at his own pace, but we see him walking with the Lord. Noah walked with him. That means he filled his heart with the things of God. He filled his mind with meditating on the things of the Lord. He filled his heart with saying, God, what does your word say? And I want to obey it. You know, one of the cool things about obeying the Father and his word and hearing his voice, it kind of reminds me when we were kids. How many remember when you was a kid before we had cable TV and had, well, we had cable TV, but we had 12 channels on cable? How many remember the days when you had 12 channels on your cable? How many, now today we got 300 channels on satellite. But before those days of 300 channels of satellite, you know, cartoons didn't come on until only a certain time of day. So you were out playing, okay? So we were out playing. And how many remember about dinner time, what would happen? What would your mom do? Or your dad do? What would happen? They would yell at you. How many remember your mom yelling at you? That's back in the days when you could actually go out and play without being worried about where your kids were. Remember those days? I remember we had a creek that ran behind our house, and it came out to the back of our property, and it ran. And it spiraled around all this new housing addition. It was just a really, I call it the creek. It was actually one of those big, you know, weather tunnels, you know, for the overflow, you know, the kind that you could walk in and get crawdads, those kind of things. When I was a kid, you know, we go along and every time it rained, we go along because you always find different things, you know. I remember one time we found a canoe. I don't know how it got there, but we took the canoe down this creek and, you know, I think, God, how did I live? You know, how did I live to be 12? I don't understand that with the gun and the canoe. But let's talk about that. Different story. But how do we live to do these things, you know? But I could always hear my mom. She would go out in the back. She didn't know exactly where I was. She knew I was out there somewhere. And she would say, Gene! And I don't care how far I was, I could hear that voice. And I knew that was my mom. And I would be coming back kind of slow. And if she wanted to really speed me up, you know what she would do? My mom would do this. Supper's ready! And I heard supper's ready. Boom. I would drop what I was doing, and man, I was running to get to the table. As you can tell, I still do that today. I was running. I don't run much after I go to the table. I run a lot going to the table. And we run to get there because I could hear my mom's voice. And it's awesome because you could be playing with, you know, 10 different other guys out there, you know, 10, 12-year-old guys, 8, whatever, was out there playing and playing hard and out there sweating. And you could hear, you know, everybody could hear their different mom's voice. And you just recognize like a radar. That's my mom. I got to go. And gone. Why was it? You know, I wouldn't even hear their mom calling, but that person would hear their mom calling. When my mom called me, when my father called me, you know, my friends, they didn't pick it up. They would just keep on playing the game. We're playing basketball or football, whatever. They didn't stop, but I could hear it and identify it. Why was it? Because I live with them. I live with them. I spent time daily with them. I learned their voice. I learned their call. You see, there's something about walking with the Lord daily that you hear his voice and understand it. Noah walked with God. He walked with him in this process. He heard God's voice and he understood it. Each of us recognize our own parents' voices easy because we're born into the family. You know, we should be hearing God's voice and recognizing it because we're born into the family of God. We are born into the family of God. We are children of God. And if we walk with God, we will learn to hear his voice. I'm telling you that God will speak to every one of us. Do we just speak to only certain of our children? No, we speak to all of our children, don't we? We speak to every one of them, and we talk to them. God will talk to us as his children if we will listen. So wait a minute, are you saying that God speaks to his people today? I'm saying yes, God speaks to you and I today. He continues to speak to us. Anytime you have an impression in your heart, or you have something speaking to your spirit, or you have these thoughts come in your mind about changing things, or doing something right, or doing something better, or you know, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's God speaking to you. That's not always going to be, and most time it's not going to be an audible voice like, just, hey. But I know when God's speaking to me. I can very clearly, because I've learned to listen to the heart of God, John, I know when my Father's speaking to me. I know when God's impressing on my heart to do something. I know when God's speaking to my spirit to do something because I've learned to listen. We got to learn to listen, to walk with God. Endurance takes time of knowing who your Father is and learning to hear his voice. Now, let me tell you this. There's some people go around and God speaks to them about everything. You ever met these kind of people, you know? And I'm not talking about that, you know. God spoke to me the other day about changing toilet paper because I had a rash, and hallelujah, you know. And it changed up my rash. I mean, you know, I tell you, I've met those kind of people that God speaks to about every little thing, and I say I don't know, always know if God's always speaking to them or it's the medication. But I do know this. I'm just having fun. I do know, but even though there is some people who maybe abuse that statement that God does speak to you and I, and God will speak to you and I if we will listen. If we'll walk with him, he'll speak to us, and he will give us the endurance that we need. He'll give us direction we need. You might be saying, I had never felt God leading me in the Noah-type assignment. God's never really spoke to me. Well, maybe you're not hearing God speaking to you because you're not walking with him. Very clear. Maybe you don't hear God speak to you because maybe you're not walking with him. Maybe the second thing is maybe God is not finding you trustworthy yet. Maybe you haven't proven yourself to be trustworthy. Maybe God says, hey, I'll speak to you when you, what? Listen. Listen, when I'm with my children and I want to give them instruction, do I tell them instruction when I know that they're sitting there playing their PSP or their Game Boy or the Wii or doing this video games or texting somebody on the phone or got their iPod in their ears and are listening to music? Do I sit down and tell them very important things during that time? No, I don't do that. When do I actually tell my children the things they need to hear? When I have what? Their full attention. That's right. When I have their full attention, when I know I've got their full attention, then I will actually speak to them in the ways I know they need to hear me. And I instruct them and tell them the things they need to know. And so same thing with the Lord. Maybe we're not hearing God's voice because we're not walking with him. Maybe we're not choosing to walk with God. And maybe we're not choosing to say, God, you know what? You can trust me with what you say. I'm really tuned in. I really want to hear your voice. You see, I can be there. Yeah, my kids are in my home, but they're not always listening to me. How many parents say amen to that? You know what I'm talking about. It's because they're in my home doesn't mean they're always listening to me. And so we've got to tune ourselves in to hear God as we walk with him. Maybe God's waiting to give you your big assignment, but you're not listening. God tells Adam, he tells him. This is really strange. God says, Noah, I want you to build a boat. And Noah's like, all right, what's a boat, man? What is a boat? I've never seen a boat before. I've never seen rain before. What are you talking about? And God explains it to him. The Bible says that Noah was 500 years old. 500 years old when he started this project. So what was he supposed to do? Take his, you know, retirement check. I hope they had a good retirement back then. 500 years is a long time to draw that out. But anyway, Noah was 500 years old. You know, can you imagine him getting this assignment to build this boat? I mean, God says, I want you to build this big honking boat. It's going to be 450 feet wide, you know, 75 feet long. You know, it's 45 feet high. It's basically about the size of about 1.5 football fields. I mean, this thing is a huge, monster boat. I think he was having a midlife millennium crisis or something. I'm not sure exactly what was going on, what his friends were thinking here, what's going on. Here he is called to build this humongous boat, this ark, and it's never even rained before. And he said, hey, it's going to flood. The earth's going to be full of water. And no one believes him. How many know that's a good time maybe to quit right then? That's a good time to throw in the towel and say, you know what? God, this thing is just too big of a project for me. God, I can't handle this thing. God, it's not even rained before. But see, Noah had found grace in God's eyes. And God began to speak to him and said, listen, I'm going to destroy the earth, but I'm going to save you and your family if you are obedient. And his obedience saved his family's life. Fathers today, let me say this to you. How many fathers are actually listening to the voice of God? How many fathers here today would say, I'm actually hearing God's voice for me and my family? A pastor, I don't need to listen to God's voice. You know, I'm here at church, and that's good enough. I say, no, it's not. No, it's not, because God has a direction for you and your family. God has a direction for your life, for you to lead your family. And if you will walk with him, I wonder how many times we would avoid painful situations in our life. How many times would we avoid things in our life if we just would walk with the Lord and learn to listen, dads? How much trouble could we have saved our family if we would hear God's voice? But instead, we don't want to endure, do we? We want to give up and quit and go to the next thing because it's getting too tough. Look what Genesis 6:13 says. It says, God said to Noah, make yourself an ark. And Noah did it. Verse 22 says, and Noah did everything just as God commanded. He heard and he obeyed. Then finally the boat was done, and Noah said, God, what shall I do? And look what Genesis 7:1 says. And then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark. So we see here he was obedient, he built the ark, he endured, did everything he was supposed to do, and he said, all right, God, it's built, what do I do? And God says, Noah, get into the ark. Take your family, go into the ark. Now, of course, we know by this time he's endured. I mean, this is a long time to endure. This is a long time to be working on one of these weekend projects. He's working, he's building this thing, he's taking ridicule from family. He'll look at him and say, dude, you're off your rocker. Why are you building this ark? What are you doing? But he had heard God, and he stuck to it, and he endured. And now we see where God says, all right, get on the boat. Take your family, get on the boat. And we see him get on the ark, and the word of God says, what happened then? You see where it says the animals came, and they followed him two by two. I mean, can you imagine him? He wasn't out there being Steve Irwin. You know, this wasn't, oh, look at this crocodile right here. Come on, you know, we wasn't out there doing a two by two. But he was out, I mean, these things came, and they followed him on the ark. I mean, when you hear God's voice, things happen so easy. Things happen a lot smoother. Can you imagine trying to gather up those animals on your own? No, he heard God. He said, hey, get on the ark. And when he got on the ark, it says the animals followed him. They followed him into the ark. And then it says that God shut the door of the ark. And when God shut the door of the ark, how many know it started to rain? It didn't, did it? For 7 more days, they sat there. Yeah, let's think about that for a second. It takes you, you know, 120 years to build this ark. You get it built through all the ridicule, and then you tell your family, God told me to go on here, it's going to rain, it's going to flood. All right, Dad, we're going to follow you. And they do that, and they get on the ark, and all the animals come, and they fill this thing up, and God shuts the door, and then it doesn't rain for 7 days. I mean, you're talking about thinking, all right, you know, you're feeling pretty good until the door shuts and nothing happens. Some of us have been in that place, haven't we? Well, all right, God, we did all the way up what you've asked us to do. God, we followed your direction all the way. And now that we've done what you've asked us to do, nothing's happening. All the animals are here like you wanted. My family's here. We're obedient. I built this ark for you and nothing's happening. Oh, there's plenty happening, all right, but it stinks. Humidity's high in there. The waste from the animals is happening. I mean, it is stinking in this ark. I'm sure that he many times wanted to bail. All right, God, I did what you wanted to do, but there must be another plan. I'm getting out of here. We're heading out of this thing. God, we're leaving. All right, my family did what you wanted, but, you know, we're out of here. He didn't do that. He endured through the tough times. He endured through the ridicule of friends. He endured through pain. He endured through the cost and the finances of it. He endured through all the hard labor. And then he gets on there, and he has to endure waiting. Waiting. What's next? What's next? As he's waiting, and finally we see where God begins to pour the rain. And I guarantee you, when that first rain shower hits, I'm sure Noah looked at his family and said, I told you so. Oh, ye a little faith, you know. I bet Moses is on there shaking. Now he's, oh, I told you so. Look what happens when you endure. You know, when the others were dying, everybody else was swept away by the floods, and they were staying dry, and they're floating. Everybody else, you know, can't find a thing to eat, and they're starving, and they're just being swept away by the floods. He's got plenty to eat. He's got animals of all kinds on that boat. I mean, he's taken care of. He's taken care of. God has supplied for him and his family. It rained for 40 days, 40 nights, and flooded the earth, but yet you realize that he stayed on that boat for a year. He had to wait for the waters to go down, and when it finally arrested, when he got out of the boat, what do you think happened? What do you think would happen? For many of us here, we would have crashed long before the boat was ever done. For many of us here, because of the way society is, we would have crashed long before we got finished with the project. So for many of our lives, this is what happens. God gives us point A and point B. And we're trying to get to point B. But because point A is so tough in our life, we will quit. God, I can't endure this. God, I can't go through this to get to there. So there must be an easier way. And so we're trying to get to point B. And every time we try to get to point B, we seem to hit this wall. Instead of enduring, we say, all right, I can't go this way, so I must try this way. This looks a little easier. And then I hit this resistance point, and then I had to break through that and come over here and do this. And I come back around here, and I do this, and find myself over here, and I go through this pain and problem. And you know where I end up always? I always find myself right back here where I started. Because, see, God is a God who wants to get you through where you're at. So the question is, do I endure now through the pain? Do I endure now and get through it to get to where God's taking me? Or do I take the long way? How many know what the long way is called? It's called my way. It is. My way is the long way. No comments, honey. Please, okay? My way is the long way. God's way, it may be a hard way. It may take some endurance, but it's always the right way. It's always the right way. And you may think that you can get around a barrier by abandoning it. You may give up and try to do something else, but I guarantee you, at some point in your life, you'll find yourself staring at that same barrier over and over and over again until you learn to face it and get through it. You got to learn to endure past it. You got to learn to endure past your pain to get past where God's taking you. God has got a place for us to go, but are we listening to his voice? Are we enduring? God's timing is better than my timing. You know, I found a long time ago that I'm not always in charge. When we used to go on mission trips, I used to go to mission trips in Mexico quite a bit, been to Brazil, and especially in these two places in Brazil and Mexico. If we had a meeting at 6 o'clock that evening, we would show up, and we'd be there at 6 o'clock ready to go, but there'd be nobody there. 6:30, maybe somebody shows up. 6:45, a few people, about 7 o'clock, 7:15, they all show up. This happened a few times, and I asked a missionary, what's going on here? He said, oh, you're not on Mexico time. You're not on Brazil time. When we say 6 o'clock, we actually mean 7:15. And so in my mind, 6 o'clock is 6 o'clock. But in Mexico, 6 o'clock means 7 o'clock. When you say you're going to have church at 6, it starts at 7. Who figure? You know what I had to do? I had to learn to sync up with their timing. Otherwise, I was growing so frustrated. But I had to learn to sync up with their timing, right? You're saying 6 o'clock, but you really mean 7. And so in my mind, I had to think, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock. We're saying 6, but 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. We got to learn to sync up with God's timing. That our timing is not always God's timing. that we got to learn to endure and say, God, I'm going to sync up with your timing, God. You've got a plan for my life. You've got a plan for where you're taking me. And I'm not going to give up when things get hard. Noah endured. So what happened when they got to the dry land? You know what I'd have done? When that door opened up after being on that thing for a year, I'd have jumped out and I'd have rolled around in the dirt. I'd have kissed the ground. Thank you, Lord. But what's the first thing Noah did? It says that he went and he built an altar to the Lord. He built an altar of worshiping the Lord. Verse 20 and verse 21 of chapter 8 says, Noah built an altar to the Lord, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. What was happening here? We see where Noah gets out and he thanks the Lord. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm worshiping the Lord. You helped me endure. Thank you, Lord. You protected me and my family. Thank you, Lord. You saved me by your grace. Thank you, God. Now, how many of us, when we get into tough times, have ever prayed this prayer? God, if you'll just get me out of this bind, I'll give you all the praise. God, if you'll just help me this one time, I'll serve you. I'll preach. I'll do whatever you want me to do. God, I'll do it. There's a lot of soldiers right now in Iraq praying that prayer. God, if you just let me get away from this place of life. I mean, we pray those prayers in tight situations. When pain is on, we pray that prayer. Then what happens when we get out of it? Do we go, oh, thank you, Lord, and start worshiping the Lord? No, most of the time we forget it, don't we? Most of the time we'll find ourselves forgetting, all right, I'm the man. I got out of that. I made it happen. I survived. And we go on and we forget to give the Lord praise. We forget to worship the Lord. We forget it was God who sustained us. It was God who protected us. It was God who helped us endure. Noah did not forget. Noah broke through this barrier. And he says he set up an altar to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord right then. Listen, our lives should be a lifestyle of worshiping God. Our lives should be a lifestyle saying, God, I worship you no matter what I'm doing, God, that you are the God who sustains me. You are the God who helps me endure. And, Lord, my life should continually be an altar of praise to you. So let's get practical in closing today. Let me get practical with you, real practical, and help you see some things. How do we endure? So how do we do this? Let me give you what the Bible says. You can read this stories, some of these scriptures later on this week in your notes. Hebrews 12:1 talks about how we endure. The first thing you need to do is, it may sound weird, but you need to get your head in the clouds. That's the first. When I was in school, my teacher always told me to get my head out of the clouds. And now your pastor's telling you to get your head in the clouds. Well, what's he mean by that? Well, let's read the scripture and see what it says. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. When you want to endure, when you want to fight through the pain, when you want to get to the point where God's calling you to be and you feel like you want to give up, you got to get your head in the clouds, realizing that there are people there. The scripture goes on to talk about the great heroes of faith who are there cheering you on, who are there saying, you can make it, you can do it. And so when you want to give up, remember that Abraham's up there going, hey, dude, don't give up. I didn't give up. Look what happened. That Noah's, hey, dude, if I can do this, if I can sit on the ark, you know, for a year, those stinking animals, if I can spend 120 years building this ark through all the ridicule that I went through, you can do it, dude. Don't give up. Hey, girl, don't throw in the towel. You can make it. You can do it. Get your head in the clouds and realize there's people up there, great heroes of faith, who are cheering you on, saying, come on, don't give up. You can make it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Get out of bed this morning. It's okay. Get there. It's all right. You can endure. Get your head in the clouds. Realize there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering you on. The second thing you need to do is join Weight Watchers. Pastor, what do you mean by that? We'll see what Hebrews 12 says. Let us lay aside every encumbrance. Some says every weight. And the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You want to endure? You got to lay aside your weight. Remember me preaching on this a couple months ago about laying aside that luggage. I remind you today, don't pick that luggage up. All that past junk and guilt and unforgiveness and and weighty things that we carry around, things we're mad about, unforgiveness in our life, hurt, rejection, pain, those people who stabbed you in the back, those people who did you wrong, all those things you're mad and bitter about, we got to lay aside those things if we're going to endure. Because if not, they will weigh us down and you'll give up. You'll quit. But I'm here to tell you today, as your pastor, don't quit. Let me say it again. Don't quit. Don't quit. Lay aside the weight. It's so much easier to run when you lay it aside. I've tried running with it, and it's not easy. It weighs you down. It's heavy. I don't get anywhere. But, man, when I learn to forgive, and I learn to let things go in my life of people who have hurt me, learn to let things to the side and say, you know what, I'm going to run this race the way God intended me to be, free. I run somewhere, and I get somewhere. And when you want to endure, number three, become a strong finisher. Finish strong. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down to the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus says, "What?" Jesus says, lock eyes with me. You want to endure? Be a strong finisher. Finish strong. Lock your eyes on the Lord and say, you know what? I am not taking my eyes off the prize. I am not taking my eyes off my coach. I'm not taking my eyes off of my Savior. I'm not taking my eyes off of anybody else. Yeah, I may have friends talking in my ear over here. I may have family talking in my ear over here. I may have circumstances pushing me over here. I may have pain that's saying stop. I may have people say give up. I may have people tell me to stop doing what I'm doing, but I'm here to tell you today that I am not going to quit. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. There's something about endurance that God's looking for, a character of people who would not stop. Are you saying that God's going to make me go through things in my life that are tough? Yes. Why? Because he loves you enough to develop you along the way. And us fighting through the pain, and us fighting through the road bears, and us getting through the rejection, us getting through hurts in our life, it's all a part of the process of growing up in God. That he loves you and I enough that he wants to teach the characteristics of endurance in our life. He wants us to endure. He says, keep our eyes, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's all there is to it, really. You want to endure? Lay aside your heavy weight, man. Lay it aside. Let it go. Learn to use Weight Watchers. Let it be. And what else? Fix my eyes on Jesus. I can't make it any plainer, any simple. But that means, man, I keep my eyes. I tell you what, when I'm running and I'm out of shape, I want to give up, I fix my eyes on something, and I don't take my eyes off of it. I don't stare at the clock. I stare at something else, man. I want to look down. I want to see how far I've gone. I don't do it because I know if I look at it, I'll be discouraged. If I look at my clock, I know what it's going to tell me. I still got 20 more minutes left. And I'm like, I can't do it. So I don't do that. I fix my eyes on something else. I begin to think about something else, and I keep my eyes fixed, and I fight through the pain. Same thing spiritually. When I am trying to endure, I've got to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. I don't look at anything else. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't it amazing that the ark only had one door? The ark only had one door, and God said, enter through that door, and God shut it. You know, the ark is really symbolic of the cross. Do you realize that? The cross of Jesus. The ark was made of wood. Of course, the cross was made of wood. When we go in the definition, it talks about the specific tire, that I mean, the tar that was put on there to seal it up, to keep the water out. Go back and study that out. It actually reflects the blood of Jesus. Actually, Jesus' blood is what seals our life and keeps the sin out of our life and keeps what God wants to protect us with. Jesus said, I am the door. That's what he called himself. He said, I am the door. There's only one door. There's only one door. He says, I am the way. I am the door. Today we know this, that Jesus is the door of life. Learning to endure. Some of you here today, you may be in a point in your life where you say, Pastor, coming in today, I felt like quitting. I didn't know. I was here this morning, and I didn't want to be because I feel like quitting. Well, I say God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? He had you in the right spot today. Does it mean I'm a bad person because I want to quit? No, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're human. We all have been there. We've all wanted to quit at times in our life. But those who are strong, those who endure, those are the ones who reap the reward that God has for them. Listen, we got to learn to endure through the pain. We got to learn to endure to get to where God's calling us. Today, I'm just going to ask you this question. I'm going to ask you, how many here today as the musicians come? We're going to close that. I'm going to ask you this question. How many here today say, Pastor, I'm going to make a commitment that's for me and my house. I'm going to endure. If that's you, can you just raise your hands? That's for me. I'll let you keep your eyes open, wide open. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. Let's stand up. I'm going to invite you. Let's just come to the front this morning. Can we come to the very front? I'm going to close out in prayer. I want to pray for you as our body today. How many know there's strength in the Lord, but there's also strength when we pray for each other? Isn't that cool thing about God, His Spirit, that we need to endure and we need each other? Come on in. Get in tight, guys. Come on in if you can fill in the front here in the very, very center. You know, summer's coming up, and it's going to be, next week school's getting out, and people are going to be vacationing and taking off and doing lots of things. I just encourage you, stay connected, okay? Don't allow yourself to get into that trap of getting gone every other weekend, and before you know it, it's every weekend, and before you know it, you're disconnected. Satan likes to isolate you, and he'll use certain things to get you out there by yourself. And so I just say stay connected as much as possible. I know you're going to have vacation. Go and enjoy that vacation when you do. But if you're within driving distance, get up. Be here. It's important you stay connected to the body, okay? Come, I say, encourage you. Don't give up. Don't give yourself room to stop the race, man. Some of you here today, I don't know. If we're really honest, there's probably a lot of people here today who say, Pastor, I feel like giving up this week. I'm here, but I've been battling with giving up this week. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because we've all either going through that or maybe you've even thought about it this week. Or maybe you thought about it and you've overcome. But I believe today that God's here and His Spirit is here to give us a spirit of endurance. Man, He gave Noah such a great endurance, didn't He? To fight through that. I don't know, He's not asking all of us to build an ark for 120 years. And thank you, Lord, you used that one on Noah. But He does ask you and I to do difficult things at times. Things that seem painful, that don't make a lot of sense to us. Some of you have been talking to me about tithing for the first time. And you said, Pastor, as soon as I gave my offerings, like I'm just getting already fearful of my finances, and I'm struggling with that already. I say it's okay. Those are natural feelings, but knowing that as you do that, God's going to be faithful. He's going to help you endure, help you do what God's called you to do. So I want you to do this. I want you to put your hand on the shoulder next to you. Can you do that? Just find somebody next to you and put your hand on their shoulder. Somebody in front of you is fine. That's fine. Just put a hand on the shoulder next to you. We're just going to take time. Let's just pray one for another this morning. Can we do that? Just take time. Just pray that God would encourage them this morning, wherever they're at. You don't know. Maybe that person you're touching this morning, maybe they've had that kind of week where they feel like giving up. And your prayer may be the very prayer that helps endure, helps them find strength this morning. So let's pray for each other. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray for each other right now. We pray for that shoulder we're touching. I just pray, Father, you would give us a spirit of endurance. God, that we could not give up when things get tough and we feel like giving up because we see things around us. People have hurt us. People have rejected us. Some things have happened in our life that we want to throw in the towel. But God, you know you have not given us that spirit of quit. That you'd never give us a spirit of quit. But God, you've always given us a spirit, Lord, of pressing through, of enduring. And God, I pray right now that you've helped Noah. I pray today that you would help us also to endure. But Lord, we would pass it on not only to ourselves, but to our family, to our children. We would teach them about endurance. We'll teach them, Lord, about what it means to stay steady in the hard times, keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus, running the race when it seems like we want to quit. And Father, right now, we pray for the person we're touching right now. We just come against any spirit of fear in their life, any spirit of wanting to give up. And Father, I pray right now that you give them a spirit of boldness, a spirit, Lord, of sound mind, a spirit of motivation, a passion for you. that says, as long as I keep my eyes fixed upon you, Lord, that you're going to help me endure, that you're going to get me to where I need to be. And Father, we will not forget it. And when we get there, God, when we get through these things we're going in our life, when we get through these obstacles in our life, when we pass through the ark of protection, and God, you get us to where we're going to be, God, when we get out of the ark, we say, thank you, Lord. We build altars of worship and say, thank you, God, that once again, you endured in our life. Once again, your ark of protection got me through my pain, got me through, Lord, the things that tried to destroy me, the things that tried to destroy my family, the things that tried to destroy my finances, God, as I climbed into your ark of safety and kept my eyes fixed upon you. And Father, you helped us endure. And Father, now we take time to worship you and thank you. God, we thank you, God, you have been the God that has sustained us. You are the God, Lord, who's endured us. God, you've been the God who's protected us. You've been the God who's provided for us. You've been the God who's blessed us. You've been the God who's healed us. You've been the God who set our feet where it needs to be. And when the arrows of destruction came our way, you were the God who protected me. You were the God who healed my body. You were the God who gave me peace of mind. You're the God who defended me in my face of my enemies. And God, today we thank you, Lord, that we are enduring. We are not going to give up, but God, we're going to endure with faith today. And we pray for each other, Lord. Speak that prayer of blessing on our life. We speak that prayer of endurance in our life. Now let's lift our hands to heaven and worship you. Father, we lift our hands one more time to you today, saying, Father, we love you. May your spirit come, Lord, today, giving us hope, giving us peace, strengthening our lives. Father, we receive you today. Father, I just pray for every hand raised today. God, may your spirit right now, Father, rest on them, Father, in Jesus' name. May your Holy Spirit rest on them, Father, in Jesus' name today, enduring them, Father, giving them strength beyond their comprehension. But God, it's in those tough times that, God, they feel the breath of the Holy Spirit strengthening their lives right now. I come against that person who felt like giving up. I come against that spirit of defeat. And God, we are more than overcomers in you. We will not give up, but God, we're going to press on. Because we know the prize is waiting for those who keep their eyes fixed upon you and endure. And we thank you together. And we say together, amen, amen. God bless you today. Turn around, hug a neck. Can you do that? Turn around, hug a few people around you. Shake their hand and say, man, God bless you. It was good to see you. I'll see you Wednesday night. I'll be teaching this Wednesday night. Those of you who can join us will be here this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.